farm gate at 45 Herdesbreit is permanently locked. But neither the cows nor the silent man by the broken windmill react when we just climb over it and walk towards the main building. Tabo Silala welcomes us on her veranda, pulling out jerry cans and an empty paint bucket for chairs.
He's saying that we need to leave because he wants to use this house.
There's little sign of any productive activity on this farm near Cullinan, just outside Pretoria. Some abandoned trestles for tomatoes, a stunted jacaranda, a few skittish goats, discarded roofing sheets and lengths of wood stacked in the long yellow grass. The house itself is slowly collapsing. A rusting roof, broken windows, paint so sun-bleached it's hard to say what color it once was. The walls and roof over the veranda are covered in a thick layer of soot from years of smoke from paraffin stoves, except where wasps are building a creamy white nest in one corner.
It will seem as if he wants to bring the structure down and reconstruct it.
There are two households living on this farm. Tabo Silala and eight other adults live with their children in the run-down main house. They work at various jobs for neighboring farmers. They have lived here for 6 years. Inside, they've built partitions out of available scrap, making it into a home for themselves. At the lower end of the 15-hectare farm is a cluster of five corrugated iron shacks where the Skosana family lives. Mr. Skosana worked for two previous owners of the farm. His family has been here for 20 years or more. His daughter, Tandi, says they've also had a bad relationship with Mr. Lekhwati, who bought the farm 2 years ago.
So this guy
had a way of getting clean water, but we denied access to that water. So we used to share this water that was used by animals, sometimes even pigs. We washed on this water and dogs. But we had no choice, so we also using this water for survival.
In the main house, Tabo Silala agrees that things are difficult under the new landowner.
So what Lekhwati has done, he has brought his animals like pigs without a person to look after them, and we like also taking the responsibility of feeding those pigs and leaving his cattle.
I visited the farm with Sipiwe Ngomane, an activist with a farm dweller support organization, the Nkuzi Development Association. We spent a couple of hours there, taking down the details of who had lived there and for how long. They were all under threat of eviction the very next morning. A week after our visit, police vans arrived on the same dusty road and rounded up the people from the main house, including their babies, just 2 and 3 months old, and carted them off. There were no warrants for arrest, no court order to evict, just the landowner's request to clear his land. And so Tabo Silala's household joined almost a million other black people forcibly removed from farms in South Africa since 1994. The only unusual thing in this story is that the landowner threatening these two households with eviction is black. Nearly all of South Africa's land is still owned by whites. Restoring it to the landless poor was one of the key tasks facing the new government elected in 1994, but just 3% of agricultural land has been transferred to black ownership in the last 11 years. Dr. Edward Lahif, a researcher at the University of the Western Cape, blames the government's Willing Seller, Willing Buyer program for land reform.
Willing Seller, Willing Buyer has really not been tried extensively anywhere else. And it was part of the mix in Zimbabwe. In the South African model, it's much more based on the free market, where landless people are required to go to the market, identify land that is for sale, and then government will assist with the purchase price. And if land is not available in your area, well, then there's not much you can do.
Effectively, landowners have veto power over land redistribution. But the position of farm owners in rural South Africa is changing. Agriculture was a carefully sheltered activity under apartheid. The National Party subsidized and protected farmers as an important part of its traditional Afrikaner core of support. White farmers saw themselves as benevolent employers into whose care workers had been entrusted.
Traditionally, the white-owned farms have probably accommodated more people than they strictly need for labor. So in other words, people who retire, people who are through illness or old age, the children of farm workers have tended to live on the farms along with the workers. Often even if they lose their jobs, they've been tolerated on the farms. And this is useful has been in the past useful for the farm owners. They can draw on a pool of seasonal labor as and when they need it. They've often made use of child labor, of women's labor at a very very low rates, and they can kind of turn on and off the labor supply as they need it. So it suited them to have people subsisting on the margins of their properties, often over generations.
This system benefited landowners much more than their workers.
Well, farm workers have traditionally been one of the poorest and most exploited groups within South African society. And they have typically been unable to leave the farm or look for other jobs or do all sorts of things that other people take for granted without the permission of their owners. So we see the perpetuation of forms of labor exploitation that were really set up under slavery and have continued through to the present day.
The ANC government has attempted to improve life for farm workers by setting minimum wages and bringing in laws to try to protect their access to land. Farm dwellers are usually not aware of these rights. And even where they are, Edward Lahif says that the legislation is quite limited.
Well, there is a law that's supposed to regulate evictions rather than to prevent them, and does grant certain rights to farm dwellers. What we have found is that landowners, by a simple process of going to court and getting a court order from a local magistrate's court, can get an eviction order, quite a legal eviction order, without having to show that these people have anywhere else to go.
Farm dwellers have a deep attachment to the land. Many are being evicted from the places they were born, from places where their ancestors are buried. Wendy Peker, the Secretary General of a woman-led farm worker union called Sikula Sonke, says evicted workers struggle to adjust to a radically different environment.
I know of one family where this this woman lost four children in a year, just after she was evicted from the farm, and her husband died, and they couldn't cope in that area there to live in, because on the farm you are family, you know everybody, it's safe on the farm. Then you go into an area with lots of gangsterism, you know, like the townships and things like that, and it's much difficult to go into an area.
Farm dwellers usually end up squatting in the margins of small towns or in large urban centers. The skills they've acquired from a lifetime of farm work are useless away from the land. There are precious few jobs for poorly educated black people anywhere. The jobs that do exist are part-time, low-waged, certainly not enough to pay for decent housing, water, electricity, school. The people at Cullinan are among the fortunate few to be aware of people like Sipiwe Ngomane and the Nkuzi Development Association. Immediately after they were evicted, Nkuzi took their case to the Land Claims Court, where they quickly won a reprieve.
The occupiers have to be reinstated to the piece of land and the house that they've been occupying. The police have to basically transport their houses, their staff back to that house. Mr. Lukhati is also ordered to repartition the house as it has been done before. And thirdly, he is also ordered to cease from intimidating the occupiers.
Thabo Silala and her family are back in the main house at 45 Hurdesbreit. Sipiwe intends to continue their defense.
We also going to sue the police for unlawful arrest. We will monitor the situation very closely to guard against any threat that might happen in the event that Mr. Lokwati decide to pursue the due legal process. We will definitely ferociously defend. We will definitely defend that.
There are far too few people like Sipiwe Ngomane and his organization in Nkuzi. Until there is improved legislation and much better support for farm dweller rights, the majority will remain vulnerable.